welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Yes, Lord. Giving glory to God the Father, my Creator. Giving glory to God the Son, my Redeemer. And giving glory to God the Holy Spirit, my Sustainer. Good morning, Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am enjoying worship this morning. Yes, I am. Yes. We praise God for the autism ministry. Amen. Amen. We thank you for leading us in worship. My. We thank God for our new choir. Amen. Yes, Lord. That's a sign that we're still growing. Yeah. I would like to turn the clock back a little bit and sing with y'all. But we might have to come up with a senior saints choir or something. Yeah. Amen. 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 Y'all shirts look beautiful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How y'all feeling today? Y'all quiet, but that's all right. You can't be loud every Sunday. Yeah, every now and then you got to sit still, hear what the Lord is saying. Amen. Concentrate on the one that allowed us to be here one more Sunday. Amen, amen. I know you have your Bible, so I don't have to say if you have your Bible. But if you would turn to Psalm 34 and want to just lift up one verse but point out three verses if I could. Amen. And Joy, is it okay if I get your autograph? Amen. Amen. You know, our God does things perfectly. We may believe in coincidences, but God, there is no coincidences. And it was just amazing, you know, because I pray and I seek, what do you want me to say to your people? And I just go by divine instructions. But I always look for confirmation that I'm doing that which you sent your servant to do. And you should be at Psalm 34 now, right? All right, I'm going to loop back to that thought in a minute. I want to look at three verses. We'll look at verse 4, verse 6, and verse 17. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6, if you drop down, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. And I really want to hang my hat on verse 17. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. So for the next 20 minutes, I want to talk from the topic, the title, or the theme. Something happens when we pray. And my subtitle is, When God's People Pray. Now here's the confirmation that I received. Was anybody here Wednesday for Bible study? Amen. Just one, two, three, four, five. I'm counting my witnesses. Amen. See, every preacher is like a good lawyer. I just need a couple witnesses. Amen. I understand that the topic was about prayer. Is that right? Is that right? And I knew it was an anointing, outstanding, phenomenal man of God that taught that lesson. So I'm going to thank him publicly for helping me out this morning. So I see how God lines it up. He teaches us about prayer. And then the sermon will be about prayer. Amen? Amen. Let's pray and we get right to it. Holy Spirit, I need you to come. God, I need you to fill me like you've never filled me before. I need you to take my mind, and I need you to think with it. I need you to take my mouth, and I need you to talk with it. God, I need you to walk with me for these next 20 minutes. Fill me with your spirit. Have your way, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I recently attended Brooklyn Tabernacle's Tuesday night weekly prayer meeting in Brooklyn, New York. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Brooklyn Tabernacle, but it's a world-renowned church. And Jim Cimbala is the pastor of this spirit-filled and vibrant church. Now, you may not be familiar with the name Jim Cimbala, but prayerfully, you are familiar with maybe one or two of his books. For in his book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Pastor Cimbala talks about how a broken-down church in one of America's meanest and drug-infested neighborhoods, a church that barely drew 25 members on a Sunday, was able to grow to over 10,000 members. Whenever Pastor Cimbala is asked, how did your church grow to over 10,000 members? He always responds, it was prayer that built the church. Their Tuesday night prayer meeting is described by many as an awesome encounter with God, a life-changing experience, if you must say. During my recent visit, let me just say, I surely felt the power of God in that place. The movement of God was just undeniable. I left there with a better understanding of what Isaiah was trying to communicate in Isaiah 6, when he said, I saw the Lord high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I'm talking about an awesome experience. Their Tuesday night prayer meeting, it draws over 3,000 people. I don't know about you, but I have never witnessed so many people at a weekly prayer meeting. Now watch this. The prayer meeting starts at 7 o'clock. It ends at 8:30. But the doors open at 5. And to watch people come in at 5 just to be able to get a good seat at the prayer meeting. But the most beautiful thing was the diversity amongst the congregation. You see, for the leaders and the members were there. Blacks and whites were there. The haves and the have-nots were there. What an awesome picture of heaven. But during the prayer meeting, one of the pastors got up and he shared this powerful testimony about a 10-year boy that had cancer. You see, every Tuesday night, the church would lift this boy and his family up in prayer. The pastor told us that first the doctors thought that they would need to amputate the young boy's whole leg to stop the cancer from spreading. But the church prayed. Amen. They ran some more tests, and they realized that they just needed to amputate his leg from the knee down. Ah, but the church kept praying. They ran some more tests, and they realized they only needed to amputate just a few toes. But I need to tell you, the church kept praying. And finally, when they ran the test, they could find or detect no more cancer in the little boy. I'm just trying to tell you that something happens when we pray. You see, when we pray, it opens the doors that no man can open. When we pray, God has a way of making a way out of no way. When the people of God pray, God may not show up when you want him, but he's always on time. It's no secret what prayer can do. Howard Thurman, that black mystic. Thurman defined prayer as a form of communication between God and man, and man and God. A.B. Simpson said prayer is the link that connects us with God. But I like how William Templeton puts it. He says, when I pray, coincidence happens. And when I don't, they don't. Don't miss this. The Bible records that the disciples, the only thing that the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them was to teach them how to pray. Nah, they didn't say, hey, teach us how to preach. Teach us how to get a big offering. Teach us how to make the church grow. No. They said, teach us how to pray. You see, some scholars, they say that the disciples believe that they found the secret to Jesus' power and Jesus' strength because they watched Jesus in daily communion in prayer with the Father. They were able to see the results of prayer. Yeah, in our text this morning, something happens when David prays to God. David, this mighty man of God, is known by many as a man of praise. But I would argue with you this morning that David is also a man of prayer. And this is true also of Psalm 34. If you notice, I skipped over the beginning. This psalm, to many, is a psalm of praise. Because in the first verse, David vows to bless the Lord at all times. And in verse number 3, David invites us to magnify the Lord with him, to exalt the name of God together. That's praise. But in verse 4, we begin to see David's prayer. As David writes these words, I sought the Lord. That's prayer. And he answered me. God will answer our prayers. And he delivered me from all our fears. The prayer of Psalm 34 continues in verses 6 and 17, where in verse 6, David continues to talk about his situation, and he describes himself as a poor man. For the text says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. But notice, if you will, there's a shift that takes place in verse 17. You see, in verse 17, David becomes didactic. Oh, what I mean, that's a fancy word for teaching. I got to use a big word every now and then. David wants to teach us that something happens when we pray. For David is no longer talking about himself. Now David talks about the righteous. We know from the heading of Psalm 34 that David is referring to the situation where he changed his behavior before the king of Gath. We know this by 1 Samuel chapter 21. Can I briefly tell you the background of Psalm 34? You see, Saul was the king. And Saul was very jealous of David, because they were singing, "Saul slain 1,000, but David slain 10,000. And I mean, they were singing. They were singing, celebrating. Saul said he got to go. Saul plotted to kill David. Let me just add, David was anointed to be the king. But Saul is on the throne. Can I pause parenthetically for a minute? What do you do when God has given you a promise, but to you and I, it looks like the promise will not come to pass? Y'all looking at me kind of funny. Where my Bible readers at? Come here, Abraham. God said, "I'm going to make you the father of many nations." And here Abraham doesn't even have not one son to carry on the family name. Abraham and Sarah start to thinking that maybe they may not see God's promise come to pass. So they decide to move ahead of God. Likewise, David, not trusting that God would protect him from all of Saul's attempts on his life, David moves ahead of God and finds himself in the place of his enemies. Redeemer, while we search for our new pastor, no matter how long it may take, we need always be mindful never to move ahead of God. Yes. So David, who's moving ahead of God because he's running from Saul, he finds himself in the city of Gath. Now Gath is a Philistine city. You probably already put it together. So when the king of Gath met David, the king had some flashbacks. Can I contemporize it for you? The king was like, "You killed my boy Goliath. I'm going to get you now." David, realizing where he's at, begins to pray. I can imagine the way he was praying. "Yeah, if you get me out of this one." "I don't know if you can relate, identify. Yeah, I'll never miss another Sunday." Yeah. I know he was praying. Scripture tells us that David changed his behavior. And be changing his behavior, the king let him go. And when David got to the cave, he began to sit down and he began to write Psalm 34. Now, Psalm 34 tells the story in general. It doesn't really go specific. But David is giving God thanks and praise for answering his prayer. Something happens when we pray. But we know our problems, challenges, and afflictions are no respective of person. For here is a man anointed by God to be king, a man after God's own heart. And we find him blessed and stressed at the same time. The text is tailored to teach us never to curse our problems, never to curse our challenges, and yes, never to curse our afflictions. For somehow, some way, God provides us with a threefold blessing. For God is blessing us right now. Yes, he is. Can I tell you the threefold blessing in verse 17? And I take my seat. Is that all right? It's right here in the text. Amen. Right here in the text. The first blessing of our problems, our challenges, and our afflictions is they make us pray. Amen. Francis Freeland reminds us that time spent in prayer is never time wasted. Amen. Notice, if you will, the first part of verse 17. The righteous cry out. The prayers of the saints, meaning the righteous, are always expressed in the term of crying out. For when we cry out to God, we're actually praying to God. For over and over in the psalm, you'll hear, "In my distress, Lord, I cried out. Unto thee I have cried out to the Lord." My favorite, "Out of the depths of my soul, I have cried out." This verse teaches us that the righteous doesn't mean that we are exempt from the adversities of life. For we see it with David, how he finds himself in enemy territory. The text is tailored to teach us that too many of us cry out to people who can't help us. Yeah, we are so quick to get on social network and cry out. We need to cry out to the one who is able. The one that's able to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing we don't have room to receive. We need to cry out to the one that is able to hold back the rain. We need to cry out to the one that is able to make the sun stand still. And I like how it's in Ephesians. We need to cry out to the one that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything we could hope for, think, or imagine. Yes. Cry out. First blessing is they make us pray. Yes. The second blessing, they bring us to the hearing ear of the Lord. Thomas Watson puts it this way. He says, "Prayer delights God's ear. It melts his heart. It opens his hand. And God cannot deny a praying soul." God's ears are open. It touches God in such a way because we have a relationship with God our Father. For God hears the cries of his children. This is similar to a newborn baby and the mother. The newborn baby doesn't even talk yet. No vocabulary. But the newborn baby can cry in such a way that it'll make the mother stop. What's she doing? And come see about her baby. Yes. The same way when we cry out to God, God hears our cry. I remember they had a commercial on with the phone. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? That'd be terrible to be in a jam and you trying to talk to God. You got to, can you hear me now? My. Our God is not deaf when we lay our complaints and groaning at his feet. For we have the blessed assurance that our God hears us when we pray. Amen. So first, we have the privilege of praying. Second, our God hears us when we pray. And lastly, they afford us room for the joyful experience of deliverance. Woodrow Crowell says it this way: the fervent prayers produce phenomenal results. James says it this way in his gospel, that the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. The good news of the text is this, that regardless of how great your distress is, help is on the way. That there is no net of trouble that can hold us, that our God can't free us. There are no afflictions that may be many, and your situation may also be complicated. But I need to tell you, something happens when we pray. Our groans and our moans, they go from our heart and our mouths. They get released in the atmosphere. They travel upward, northward to heaven. And a loving God inclines his ear to hear our feeble cry. My old pastor used to say it this way. God would say, hush, somebody calling my name. So the God would grab his divine tool belt and he would come and see about me. I just want to let you know that just as prayer healed a 10-year-old boy from cancer, just as prayer delivered David from his enemies, something happens when you pray. For the Bible says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. Prayer makes the impossible possible. What seems out of reach in our grasp. Prayer makes burdens become blessings. Pain becomes praise. Obstacles become opportunities. When we pray, stumbling blocks become stepping stones. Foul-tasting situations now taste delicious. What looks dismal now becomes a promise. Something happens when the people of God pray. The foul-smelling smells rosy. Cries turn to laughter. Rough places are made smooth. Where there's confusion, there's now peace. Something happens when we pray. Yeah, Joseph prayed and was delivered from the pit. Joshua prayed, and the sun stood still. Hannah prayed, and became the mother of Samuel. Jehoshaphat prayed, and he won the battle for the Lord. Elijah prayed, and a child was restored to life. Hezekiah prayed, God gave him 15 more years. The church prayed, and Peter was shook from prison. What I'm trying to say, something happens when we pray. Yeah. Yeah. Our corporate message this morning is during our time of transition. We as a church, we need to be praying. The reason we need to be praying is Satan knows the power of prayer better than we do. And he has developed cunning strategies to make us too busy to to pray, to clog our connection to God. Today's message is simple, but it's powerful. We need to keep praying. Amen. Amen. As we stand on our feet, want to open the doors of the church at this time for our deacons to come. Thank God for his word today. So if you are looking for something to happen in your life, I would strongly suggest that you start praying. Something happens when we pray. Is there one among us who does not know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? One that would like to learn how to pray and how to talk to the Father? Is there one among us that is willing to give God your heart, but give the deacon your hand? Will you come?